Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, Attorney Teddy Reese, today, y'all. Today has been a very hectic work week for me. I'm glad I can rest today with today being Sunday, but it certainly was a very, very hectic work week, and I was in lawyer over mode this week. Getting things done, helping families, helping people. And I just love the work that I do. Being raised to a single mother and in a very small rural town, a rural area, being the first in my family to go to college, to me is such a blessing and a privilege to be able to help other folks in need. And it often makes me think about situations that my family may have experienced when I was growing up. And I look back on those things and I say, if only we would have known an attorney, if only we would have had access to an attorney. And so, that's where a lot of my passion come from, even with community-based work. That's where a lot of my passion come from, because I know that we can do better as a people. We can do better as a community. We can do better as a race, as a culture. But it's going to all be dependent upon individuals like myself who have been blessed turning back and helping the community, not taking what you have and running to, the extreme safe plush side of town, never to be seen again, but actually engaging and getting involved and sharing resources and making sure people know about resources so that we can make our community better. Before we go into today's show, just a few things I do want to touch on, you guys. We are in the middle of football season. All my guys out there, I'm absolutely loving it. And I know you are too. And I know there are some women out there as well that love themselves some football. And so we are certainly rolling with it. We had an amazing homecoming at Albany State University this weekend. Go Rams. And certainly looking forward to the Fountain City Classic that is coming up very soon. Classic Magic is coming back to the Valley. And it's certainly going to be very, very nice. You guys, I know you're probably hearing some of the local news reports that we're seeing a slight decrease in the number of COVID-19 infections. But I do caution you, this is not the time for us to let off the pedal. Let's continue to wear these masks. Let's continue to use our hand sanitizer, wash our hands, socially distance when necessary. If you have not been vaccinated, please do so. If you got the Pfizer vaccine, booster shots are available now if you do qualify. So check with your healthcare provider to see if you're going to qualify for that. I also saw a report this week that Pfizer has submitted the emergency authorization paperwork to start vaccinating kids from 5 to 12 years old. And I think that is so important right now because all over this country, we have so many kids within that age group that are suffering from this ugly, ugly coronavirus, COVID-19. And we want them to have as much protection as they can as well. And we want to continue to protect our elders and our seniors. You guys, we are in that time of year. We're in the fall years. We've been in the fall part of the year. We've been getting a lot of rain here lately, but slowly the weather will begin to transition. This is a good time to check on our seniors, our elders, to make sure that their heating is working properly, to make sure that, they're going to be well hunkered down for the wintertime. With the weather patterns we've seen here over the past couple of years, you just never know what to expect. So we just need to be fully, fully prepared. I mean, who would have thought that almost a month ago, New York and Philadelphia and parts of New Jersey and Boston, Massachusetts and other parts of Rhode Island and Connecticut would be under feet of water? We would have never thought that we would see an urban area like that flooding the way it did. But it happened, and we've even seen a lot of rain here in this area here lately too. So weather patterns are certainly changing, so let's make sure we keep our eye on that. We are still in the tropical season, so let's also keep our eye on that as well, because the season should be in and in a couple weeks, I think sometime around mid-November. But the fact is, we are still in the season, so we just got to make sure we watch that. You guys, the month of October always stands out to me because it's two things that we all talk about and we raise awareness of, and that's breast cancer awareness and also domestic violence awareness month. And so I'm so elated to have my friends on with me here from the Domestic Violence Roundtable here. I'm just honored to have them on every year. And we talk about this subject. We're not shy about it. We're not running away from it, because this is a topic that we really need to discuss. Just this week in the news, there was an incident here locally, a domestic violence event where a family lost a daughter, a mother, to a domestic violence situation, and where, you know, she was found stabbed to death. And you know, it seems like every year there's a domestic violence situation that certainly stands out to the community. My good friend Michelle Virgil, I had her on a couple years ago, and she talked about her daughter, Destiny Virgil. And all of us remember how she was just, you know, ruthlessly and disrespectfully shot down in the streets right here on Macon Road. A beautiful 18-year-old young lady with so much life ahead of her, so much to give to society. I mean, just beautiful inside and out. And so we live through that as a community, and we mourn with these families, just like we mourn with the families that have lost people from COVID-19. Xavier McCaskey, he recently lost his daughter. Brother, we are praying for you, and we are praying for your family at this time as well, because there's so much hurt and so much pain in our community right now. But when you have organizations like the Chattahoochee Valley Domestic Roundtable organization, you have people that are there to reach out to you, to help, to provide guidance. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. You know, my show, I've always been about resources. How can I let the people know what's going on? So today I have with me a phenomenal lady who is a great leader in her own right, and she is doing phenomenal work as the chair of the Domestic Roundtable for us right here in the Chattahoochee Valley. And that is Miss Annie Davis. Hey, Miss Davis, how you doing today?
Hello, Teddy. I am wonderful today. Thank you for having us in order for us to bring our focuses to light for this area.
We are so honored to have you today. And first of all, let me thank you for your service as the chair to this organization. I know the chair has to put a lot of work in, and it's a lot of sacrifice, you know, for you and your family. But the things that you're able to accomplish and the work that you're able to do is so beneficial to so many other families here throughout this valley, throughout the Chattahoochee Valley. I know it makes it all worth it for you, right?
It really does. And I want to take this opportunity to say thank you for all those folks that stay in the trenches with me, because it takes a village. And we often find that village experience is what's going to lead us out of this crisis that we're in. And this crisis includes family and or domestic violence.
So let's begin by talking a little bit about Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Of course, you know, these things just don't happen on their own. There has to be this bubbling up of support and a need to have this awareness to where we recognize it on a national level. Can you talk with us just a little bit about the foundation of Domestic Violence Awareness Month?
Yes. So, you know, I'll correct, Teddy. Domestic violence is all over. It's all over the country. It's all over the world. It does not have it does not discriminate against race. It does not discriminate against economic status. It happens everywhere. It happens for professionals. It happens for blue-collar workers. It's all over. We as a unit, as a family unit, as a country, as a community, must recognize that harm is being done. There are victims that are suffering every day inside the home, and it does not help us to know that there are children who are being impacted at an early age that grow up to become either victims again and or perpetrators of domestic violence. So we have to start very young. We have to start now. We are already behind the eight ball of how do we bring this to light and keep it to light in order that we can eliminate domestic violence in our homes.
You know, and I'm so glad that you said that. And this is why this topic is so important, because, you know, when some people hear domestic violence, they instantly go to husband and wife. They don't think about boyfriend, girlfriend. They don't even think about high school age folks that are dating and how domestic violence situations can even happen at that level. You know, domestic violence can be found in so many different areas, and there are oftentimes factors that people may overlook or may not be looking for in those type situations, and we're going to touch on those in a minute. But what I want to talk about right now is, I know the roundtable every year there's a lot of things you guys are doing during the month of October, and I probably should have had you on last Sunday so we could have covered the entire month. But considering that today is Sunday the 10th, can you tell us about what things you guys have going on for the rest of the month that the community can participate in, whether it's virtual or, you know, an on-site location or someone they can call and talk to, you know, a special reach-out period? What all do we have going on?
Okay, well, thank you, Teddy. Yes, as you have said, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and our goal is to really hit home all through the month of October. Although we don't stop in October, October is that month where we really just kind of have different events. All events are free. We do have two signature events for this month. It is our annual Candlelight Vigil. It will be held Tuesday, October 12th at 6 p.m. Because of COVID, all events this year are virtual. So if you would like to participate in the Candlelight Vigil, which will be October 12th at 6 p.m., if you go to our Facebook page at Domestic Violence Roundtable, the link is there in order for you to participate. Again, there's no charge to participate. Anyone can participate by going in and registering and then participating in that event on October 12th at 6 p.m. On Tuesday, October 19th, at noon, we will have what is our traditional lunch and learn. And again, because of COVID, it is virtual. We won't be having lunches, but it's still our lunchtime area. So grab a sandwich, grab your lunch, and come and hear about services that we have in the area. Because, Teddy, one of the things that we find out a lot is that victims of domestic violence remain a lot of times in these situations because they don't think that there's a place to go. Other than feeling the shame and the guilt, they think, I'm stuck here. So they become like a prisoner in their own home. But our Lunch and Learns help the community understand that there are resources, there are places to go, there is help, and there is positive support out there to help you stop being a victim and become a thriver in your situation.
Wow. And I'm so glad that you shared your Facebook page. And I'm actually, I like that page. I'm a member of that page. It's Domestic Violence Roundtable, Inc. If you're searching for it on Facebook, and you'll instantly see us, a 501c3 based right here in Columbus, Georgia. And just glancing at the page earlier, Ms. Davis, I see that you guys had even had information on there in regards to the tragic situation in Phoenix City, where this woman, her boyfriend, and an unborn child was murdered by an ex-husband. You know, one of the most dreadful domestic violence situation that we don't want to hear about any domestic violence situation, but you certainly hate to hear about one when children are harmed. It's just, you know, I just grew up always believing and sticking to, there are two people to me that you don't mess with, and that's children and senior citizens. You just don't do that. You just don't. That's just totally out of line. And to read those stories, it just hurt so bad. So Tuesday, this upcoming Tuesday, you guys, the 12th is the Candlelight Vigil. It will be online. And I know they're doing it virtually, but if you're doing it on your cell phone, I'm saying to you, if you join in on your cell phone, walk out there to your front yard and hold your candle. How beautiful would it be to see neighbors all along the city, all along our neighborhoods and streets and communities, standing out there with their candle lit for that period of the Candlelight Vigil in support of Domestic Violence Awareness Month? Just think about that message that was sent around West Central Georgia and East Central Alabama. That would be such a strong message, and I encourage you to join in on that. And so that's on the 12th. Now, Ms. Davis, you said that on the 19th, I think, was the next event?
The 19th, Tuesday, October the 19th,
okay.
Which is the very next Tuesday.
Okay.
It's at 12 o'clock noon.
Okay.
Again, it's virtual. The information will be posted out on the Domestic Violence Roundtable Facebook page. Just by clicking on the link, going in, you will be able to view the program that we have scheduled about resources.
Yes,
that
ma'am.
Are available in this area.
Great, great, great. Now, Ms. Davis, I know you and I jump right into the conversation, and because I know that you are a woman of business and a woman of action, and you want to make sure that you get all the good stuff out and make sure it's organized and well stated so that the listeners can catch on to what we're talking about and get it done and join in. But I want to focus on you for just one second, because not only do you chair this organization, but you professionally work within this area. You are a licensed professional counselor, right?
I am.
Now, tell us about how your work as a professional counselor intersects with this world of domestic violence.
Well, Teddy, as a counselor, I see both men who have been deemed perpetrators, and I do also see women who have been victimized in the relationship. So I see both sides of the fence, and it is heartbreaking to know that in the middle, there are children too who have been hurt as well. So my job as a licensed professional counselor is really to help mend the broken pieces of each of their individual lives. Not necessarily bringing those people back together, but to mend them as victims, to help them move on with their lives. Because what happens, Teddy, is that was a question that was going around for a long time. It says, why doesn't she leave? That question is not appropriate. It's why doesn't he stop? It's because when we are in relationships, we go into relationships with this forever spirit, this I am going to be loved, and more importantly, I am going to be protected. So we go into those relationships with that thought in mind. When domestic violence or that interpersonal violence begins to happen, first of all, there's shock. There's the shame. There is the self-blame of what did I do as the victim? What did I do to cause this to happen to me? And as we're figuring that out, then we have those moments of joy in the relationship. And it's called the cycle of violence, where we go from feeling good in the relationship to not so good to really bad until it becomes abusive. So with all of those emotions going around, Teddy, if you can imagine being in there, you're really kind of stuck. You're kind of stuck in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the goal is to help people see that love does not hurt. And in order to regain who they are, it becomes about sitting in it, really talking through it, and understanding that the situation that you're in is not healthy. And let me just tell you where we are in Georgia. In 2020, there were 95,839 calls to the Georgia Certified Family Violence and Sexual Assault Hotline. Of that, Teddy, 33% of the reported incidents in 2018 had one or more children present. And I bring that point out because think about this. If our children are being exposed to this type of trauma early in their life, what type of adults do they become?
Right.
What I see on the end is the anxiety, the depressive thoughts, the inability to take care of themselves.
Right, right.
One other fact that I'd like to share with you is that in 2018 as well, Georgia, our state of Georgia, was number one for teen domestic violence. That means that our children in their homes, at school, wherever they go, are being exposed and being desensitized to what violence looks like. Mm-hmm. And they begin to believe it's okay to hurt and harm each other in order to get whatever it is that they are seeking.
And, you know, Ms. Davis, a lot of this, I know we have a lot of rural listeners, too. You know, I have a lot of listeners that support us down in Chattahoochee County, Marion County, Taylor County, Talbot County, Macon County, Webster County. You know, a lot of our rural county listeners are listening to this. And, you know, I grew up in a very rural area. And my mother, when I was a young kid, removed myself and her out of the household because of domestic violence situations. She was one of the ones that realized this was not going to have a good end, and she had to move on. And I've spoken about this before during this month with some representatives from the domestic roundtable. But I guess a point that I haven't made in the past is, in a lot of our rural areas, there seemed to be a culture of acceptance. And I would hear about other instances of domestic violence, and the people would ask, well, what did she do to him? Or, you know, why did she make him do that? It was like an attempt to put the blame, you know, in this particular case, on the woman. We know domestic violence can go either way. There are actually reported instances of men being victims of domestic violence in their relationships or in their marriages. We know it can go either way. But in a lot of our rural areas, there seems to be a tendency of, you know, if the woman is mistreated by the man, then she must have done something wrong. How do we combat that, Ms. Davis?
Absolutely. And although we may see it more prevalent in those rural areas, Teddy, it really is a part of the culture. Because the men is traditionally seen as the head of a household, and what he says traditionally goes. So that makes it someone else's fault. If he loses control, it's because of something someone else did. It's not something that would be said that was a part of him. He would have had to been, quote unquote, made to do that. But that is the culture that we're trying to change. That is the hardest part of what it is we do. Because unfortunately, Teddy, there are still a lot of people who don't even believe that there is a thing of domestic violence that actually exists. And so we have to start there and showing people and giving people that self-esteem that says, I am lovable, and there is, and to have a stake in how I'm being treated.
You know, and sometimes fighting against culture, Ms. Davis, can be so difficult. You know, I remember the first time I heard the common law and the traditional and foundational definition of rape in one of my criminal law classes. And when they told us that definition of rape was carnal knowledge, which basically means sex, carnal knowledge with the woman who's not your wife without her consent. And the part that just threw me back was, who's not your wife? So even back then, our laws made provisions for men who wanted to force their wives into sexual activity, and any violence within the parameters of a domestic situation or domestic environment is domestic violence. So sexual assault can be domestic violence. And so when I saw that, I was just floored. I could not believe that. But then I had to do a quick reality check. When you're creating a country, because this was some of the earlier laws, when you're creating a country that was designed to be beneficial for men, particularly white men back then, white men landowners, because even poor white men were not given certain rights when our country was first developed. We are still, Ms. Davis, trying to roll back some of those issues. And a lot of the correction of the culture that we see in these matters is going to have to start with smart policy.
You're absolutely correct. Because think about it. If at the government level or the people we look up to are believing this, it feels okay. So it must be right. So until a people stand up to say, this is not right, and we need to change that mindset, we need to change that culture, we need to change how we think, and not make white male privilege the only way to go. Because that's what it ends up being. So you're absolutely correct. And so how do we do that? We stand up, starting in our homes, we stand up in our churches, we stand up in our community. It does take a village. It takes a village of support. It takes a village of voices. It takes work. And that's where we sometimes fall short, because it takes continuous work in order for us to make a change. And if we're going to change this domestic violence, intimate
Absolutely.
Partner violence.
Absolutely. And it takes a lot of work. And it's not just simple work like electing women to elected office. I'm glad to see that happening. But as long as we still have, controlling factors of the opposite gender, even extending all the way over to states passing laws, telling women what they can and cannot do with their bodies, trying to strip away the rights to an abortion and things of that nature. You know, these are laws that begin to cross the line, in my opinion. We're trying to legislate morality versus trying to do what we need to do as a society and as a people. But we got to be more conscious about who we are casting that vote for in the ballot, in the voter booth. You know, we are, Absolutely. Unfortunately, we are beyond the age of just being able to go in there and say, oh, I'm just going to pick the incumbent. Has that incumbent kept up with the times? Has that incumbent kept up with the issues? These are legitimate questions to answer. But then again, how we have taboo subjects in our community, just like domestic violence, who we're electing is one of those, again, taboo subjects. We tend to not want to hold people responsible for this volunteer position. Absolutely. Any last word of support or that you want to maybe say to someone who might be listening to this, who's in a domestic violence situation and just don't know which way to turn, Ms. Davis?
You know, I would say, Teddy, to anyone out there, if you're in a situation that makes you feel bad, where you are being put down and hurt, whether it's emotionally or physically or financially, please get help. There is help out there. There is help that helps you not be the victim that you may feel like you are. You are not alone. You can always call the 800 hotline at 1-800-334-2836. Wherever you are in the state of Georgia, they will feed you to a local shelter. That's 1-800-334-2836. The most important thing I would like to leave you with is that you do not have to suffer alone. There is help. There are resources for you and any children that you may be parents to that are in this situation. So, Teddy, I thank you for this conversation today.
Thank you so much, Ms. Davis. You've been a blessing, and we greatly appreciate you. And please continue all this great work. You are truly, truly just a tremendous benefit, you and your entire board and the organization to our community. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has been a conversation with Chair Ms. Annie Davis, Chairwoman of the Domestic Violence Roundtable here in Columbus, Georgia. This is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Again, I just want to give that number to you one more time, because I know there are some people out there that may be suffering right now. You may need some help. You may not know which way to go. You may feel trapped. You may feel locked in the situation that you're in. But I just want to appeal to you today that you do not have to be in that situation. You can get out of it. You can get some help. It can be done quietly. It can be done secretly. secretly. And I promise you, with the resources that you will be surrounded with, that person that is inflicting this violence, this domestic violence upon you, they're going to hate the day that they did it. You can get out of that. 1-800-344-2836. 1-800-344-2836. I know this is not one of the happiest shows I've ever done, but this is a necessary show. There's so much hurt and just pain in our community right now. But until we begin to open up and address those things and face them for what they are, they're going to continue to plague us. They're going to continue to haunt us, and they're going to continue to hurt us. Together, in support of each other, we can be the difference makers. Let's get this done, you guys. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Thank you so much for listening.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns, or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.